It has been an absolute pleasure being with you guys. It really has. I was really quite nervous coming down this weekend because I've known Matt so long, and yet I don't think Matt's ever heard me speak.
A couple of times.
Have you?
Yeah, you preached at Catford.
Oh, of course I did. I forgot about that. But so I was quite nervous coming down, and you've just made me so welcome. So thank you. It's been an absolute delight. And just to see so many people who really want to see God move. And that's exciting, because when we want to see God move, that's what we actually end up seeing. And he does move. Is it okay if I just move? I just slightly, is that all right? Thank you. Only because I move around a bit. Thanks, Matt. As long as there's a little space, that's really good. We're going to talk tonight about saying yes to God. What does it mean to say yes to God? And I think we've got an OHP on there. We have. So you know quite a lot about me already. But we're going to talk about what it means to say yes, wherever we are, to God. And you know, people have come up to me today and said, oh, it's brave what you did and this and that. But I just want to make it really clear that actually what I did, it was God. It was actually God. I couldn't have done it without God. And any one of us can do what God calls us to do, because he knows who we are and he puts it in us. And it's not about us. It's about him. And it really is as simple as saying yes. You know, when I became a missionary, I'd already said no to God because I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I was holy enough, didn't think I was good enough. And I said no, because in my immaturity, I hadn't understood that actually it was God that did it through me. I thought it somehow depended on me. And 4 years after saying no to God, when I turned around and said, God, if you can use me, I'll go. That was when something clicked into place. And you know, God can use any one of us. He used a donkey in the Bible, so he can use any one of us. And it is about just standing before him where we are and saying yes. So we're going to look today, we're going to look at a passage that you know really well. John 15, and we're going to read from verses 13 to 17. I'm sorry, that writing's a little bit small. We were going to look at that, weren't we, last night, and we forgot. I'm technically incompetent. I'm absolutely useless, so do forgive me. Okay, so John 15, 13 to 17. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. You know, I remember one day in Brazil, things were just really hard. And I was walking around the favela, and it had been one of those weeks when everything that could have gone wrong had gone wrong. When people had died, when there'd been people taken to prison, when things had just got really, really hard. And I was walking around the favela, and it was all dark. There was no green, no grass. It was just dark and wood and grim. And I remember walking along, and I was desperate. I was saying to God, God, there's no fruit. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing, I'm just seeing horrible things. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, just stop where you are now. And so I stopped. And as I looked in the dirt and climbed in, there was all blackberries growing. And they were growing in the litter and in the trash. And the Holy Spirit said to me, there's fruit everywhere. There's fruit everywhere. Do you know, in Brazil, when I left, I handed on my project. God provided people to take it on. And since I've left, the project's expanded. It's got bigger. Three of our boys are at university. One of my girls on the 9th of May, who was a child off the favela, she's now gone off to be a missionary in the northeast of Brazil. There's been kids that we work with that have got baptized. And now I look back and I can see that there's fruit everywhere. But sometimes we don't see it. And at those times, it can be harder to say yes, because we're really saying yes in faith. But I feel like God really wants to encourage us tonight that yes is something as a people of God that we say in whatever stage we're in. You know, we're all called to be part of the Great Commission. We're all called to go and make disciples. We're called to go and tell people about Jesus. And that might be the guy in the local shop. It might be like me being sent to the other side of the world. But we're all called to be part of something because it's bigger. It's so much bigger than who we are and what we've got. And I was thinking and praying about this and what it means to say yes to God. And really quickly, I felt like the Holy Spirit just quickened three or four things to me. So we're going to look at those now. And the first one, I felt that the Lord said it's a matter of knowing. It's a matter of knowing. And it's about knowing who God is, about knowing who we are in him, and about knowing what we're called to. When I was with the ladies, how many of the ladies were here on Saturday night? Okay, so when I was with the ladies on Saturday, I was talking about Matthew 16, where Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And, you know, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think this is worth repeating this bit, that actually who we say Jesus is absolutely fundamental. Because who we say deep in our hearts, I don't mean who we just say Jesus is, saying who we really believe and say Jesus is in our hearts, that dictates the way we live life. And if we say that Jesus really is Lord, we'll do what he calls us to do. If we say Jesus is the healer, we'll pray for people to be healed. Who we say Jesus is absolutely vital. Knowing who he is, knowing who God the Father is. And as we start to get hold of who he is and his love for us, as I said this morning, we come into being somehow. Love awakens something in us. His hands reaching out to us raise us up. And we become who we're called to be. We become who he says we are. You know, my life has changed so much since I started saying yes to God. I could never have imagined that God would take me on the journeys that he's taken me. And it's only in saying yes. I haven't had to engineer anything. I haven't had to force doors. And God's got that for us all, wherever we are. You know, I was really fortunate that I was able to go. Because I was single, I didn't have family, I could go. But actually, even staying, we're still missionaries. We're still called to mission. We're still called to reach out because we're building a kingdom that's bigger than ours. We're building something here on earth that's actually all about him. And that's exciting because we're part of it. And it's knowing that. It's knowing what we're called to do. You know, it's so much bigger than our little field. It's so much more. And I really feel that God wants to give us that to hold on to tonight, that the vision is so much more than what we see in our space. So it's knowing about him, knowing what he really, really says. We've got a big, big, big God, a holy God. And it's big God and little us. You know, how can we really press in to all that he's got for us and really know him deep in our heart? In 1 Peter 2:9, have I got this on there? Does the next slide have it? I'm not sure if it does. No, okay, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we're a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. We're God's special possession, the people of God. But do we know that? Do we really believe it and walk in it and live it? Because that's who we are. We're absolutely important. You're important. You're so very important in what's going on in the world today. We're really important because God's got a purpose and a plan. And I think as we get hold of that, it really helps us to walk and walk in that authority that he gives to us. You know, are we stepping into it? What do we need to lay down? That's one of my questions tonight. What do we need to put down to fully step into what God has for us? What do we need to lay aside? Sometimes it might just be the things we believe about ourselves. Sometimes we might believe that we're a bit too old to do something, or we've done our bit and we're not sure what else God has for us. You know, it's very easy to believe the lie that the enemy throws on us. But actually, what's God asking us to put down so that we can fully be who he is? One of the things I had to put down was fear. Do you know, I was really, really fearful. I've lived on my own for many years, but before I went to Brazil, I used to go back into my flat and I had to check every room because I was always frightened there was going to be somebody in the flat. Absolute fear. And after a couple of years of walking with the Lord, I realized that had just gone without me even trying. I just didn't do that anymore. But when I went to Brazil, I went with YWAM and I was in Recife, and it was a very, very violent part of the town. And a guy had just had his throat cut the week before I arrived, and there'd been an assault actually on the YWAM base. And I found myself coming back under that fear. And I was absolutely paralyzed by fear. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't go out on my own. Didn't want to. I was terrified. And after about 2 weeks of that, I remember going to bed. We were all in bunk beds in a YWAM dorm. And I got into the bed and I just lay there and I said to God, God, if you don't take this fear away, I'm going home at the weekend. I know you've called me, but I can't live in this fear. I can't live like this. And you know, I woke up the next day and it had really gone. It had absolutely gone. And I've never had that since in Brazil, the things I dealt with, the situations I was in. But it almost took that recognition of it and the giving it to God. It wasn't exactly laying it down, but it was recognizing its existence and handing it over. What do we need to give to God to fully be who we are? There are some things in our lives that, well, lots of things in our lives that we can't change. But actually, those things in his hands are totally changeable. So what do we need to put aside? Is there anything? Is it not thinking we're good enough? Not thinking that we're like such a body or that we could be like that? Actually, God wants us to be who we are. What's God got for us in the here and now? You know, in this season, because callings change, things change. What's the passion? What are we passionate about? You know, I'm passionate about people. I just love being with people. I love community. It's absolutely what drives me. But what are we passionate about? What is it that God's got for us? It's a matter of knowing. It's also a matter of hearing. We need to hear what God has for us. And we need to know how to hear God's voice. John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, imagine a scale of 1 to 10. Just imagine it written on a blackboard. And on that scale, we're thinking about Jesus every day walking with God. He heard his father. I would give him 10 out of 10 for the way he heard his father on a general level and on specific levels. When I apply that to me, sometimes I'm so caught up in busyness and running around and doing this and doing that, I don't even stop to hear God. I just do. I can be I am a doer. I really struggle with it sometimes. So, you know, I don't always stop to hear what God's saying. When I do, when I really stop, I'd give myself a 7 or an 8. But more often than not, it can be a 4 or a 5 or a 6. But, you know, when we can really put ourselves in that position of really hearing God and recognizing him, that's when we start to get hold of everything that he's got. I remember once God telling me to take our prayer meeting outside in Brazil. And we were in church and we had a group praying. And the Holy Spirit said to me, go outside and pray. And our people didn't really want to go outside and pray. But we did. We split up into small groups and I gave them different areas. And I went to the roughest part. And as I got there, this lady, dear old lady, came running out. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you've come. I've been praying that you'd come. And she said, they're about to harm one of the boys. I don't know what they're going to do to him, but they're about to hurt him. And you can do something. We can't. And so I asked her where he was, and I ran to where these boys were and managed to talk the situation down and defuse it. And nothing happened that night. But, you know, it's when we really get used to hearing what God's saying. I didn't know why we had to go and pray outside. It was a silly thing to do in many ways. My church thought I was mad. But when we did it, there was a reason. You know, so as the people of God, as his sheep, we're listening to him and hearing what he says and walking in it. How well do we hear his voice? What time do we set aside to listen to him? It can be really hard in everyday life, can't it? Really, really hard. But you know, God speaks over the noise of everyday life. And he delights to speak to each one of us. It's how we live. So it's a matter of choice as well. A matter of knowing. A matter of hearing. And a matter of choice. You know, if we look at the disciples and we think about them. In Matthew 4:18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. You know, those nets were great big fishermen's nets, heavy, really big, and they had them in their hands, and they put them down. Is there something that we need to put down to be able to follow him better? In this age of technology, you know, I was getting so stressed with technology. I've got so many people from the nations wanting to talk to me on WhatsApp. I've got emails arriving all the time. And I walk in my door and my telephone goes beep, 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 beep. And then my iPad goes zing, zing, zing. And I was driving myself mad. So suddenly I've decided that I need to put those things down. And I've turned off notifications on my devices. I turn my mobile phone off for a couple of hours every day. And that's actually really helped me. I've had to put something down to follow Jesus better. You know, what do we perhaps have to lay down? What's occupying our hands that keeps us so busy? Is there something? Maybe there's not, but maybe there is. And maybe God is saying to us, if we just put that aside, it's a matter of choice. You know, at once they left their nets and they followed him. Immediately they left their boat and followed him. What does that look like in our lives today? To follow him where he's going. To choose to follow him. I was home on holiday once from Brazil. On holiday. It's not really a holiday. I used to go round. So busy visiting everyone. But I was home on leave. And I was in Bromley. And I was shopping. I was having a lovely day. Very relaxing. And suddenly the Holy Spirit said to me, "Go and sit on that bench and talk to that woman." And I said, "No." And I felt like the Holy Spirit again said, "Go and sit on that bench and talk to her." I said, "I'm on holiday." "Go and talk to her." So I went to sit on the bench and I had a sandwich in my bag from Boots. I got the sandwich out, started to make conversation with her. And I didn't know what I was supposed to say. And then I felt like God said, "You know, tell her about me." I thought, "God, I don't do this in Bromley. I'm shopping. I do this in Brazil. I don't do it in Bromley." But it was so strong. And so I started talking about, you know, my life. I was a missionary. I knew Jesus, da, da, da. And this lady was talking to me. And then I felt like the Lord said to me, "Tell her about church. Ask her if she wants to give her life to me." Well, it's quite hard to do that on a bench in the middle of Bromley city centre. I felt really vulnerable in spite of all my experience. But I did. And to my absolute surprise, she said that she did. So we prayed and she gave her life to Jesus. And then we got up and went our separate ways. I directed her to a church that I knew where I'd actually become a believer. So I knew where the church was locally. And she walked one way down the high street. I walked the other. And the next minute I just heard a kerfuffle in the street and lots of noise. And I turned back and this lady was on the floor. So I ran back and knelt down on the floor with her. And she said to me, I took an overdose about an hour and a half ago. And the ambulance came, we got the ambulance. They wouldn't allow me to go with her. I don't know what happened to her. But I do know that God actually knew what was going on. And he wanted somebody. He wanted somebody of his alongside her to bring light. You know, we can hear from God and choose to follow every day in Waitrose, in Aldi, in Sainsbury's, wherever we are. It's about hearing and choosing. It's actually on the day-to-day level. And I just love the fact that if we get our ears open to hearing God saying, there's a verse in the Message that talks about us being the God colours on the earth. And that's who we are. We're the colours from God wherever we are. And it's exciting to live that way and to choose into what God's doing. Because God's doing things everywhere. There's fruit everywhere. But there's always a choice. And the disciples, they had to make a choice. They were called and they saw Jesus, but they had to make a choice. And us, as disciples, we have to make choices. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we're not even aware of what the choice is. But as we seek, as we talk to God more, we can actually get hold of more and more of what he's saying. You know, in Brazil, people always used to say to me, oh, nothing bad had happened to you because you're in the center of God's will. I didn't really subscribe to that theology because Jesus was in the center of God's will and got crucified. But what I did know, that even if something horrible happened to me, yeah, I wouldn't like it and yeah, I'd really struggle. But actually God was still God. So we could still safely choose to follow God, even when it feels difficult, because God is God in every circumstance. Who do we say he is? He's absolutely God, God of the universe. So will we be a people that say yes to God in the workplace, when we're at the school gate with children, when we're out doing our own thing? Will we be a people that choose in? You know, Queen Esther, she was someone who chose in. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in Esther, it's in chapter 4, and Mordecai had challenged Esther to get involved and to do something to stop Haman. And he sends this message to her. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from another place. For the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? You know, we're here on earth in this place at this time, not by chance. We're here because it's a God-appointed time, because this is our time, and because God's got something for each one of us to do. And it might be to talk to one person. Do you know, when I went to Brazil, God said that to me, is your life in Brazil still worth it if it's for just one? And I said, yes, absolutely. It might be for just one. But actually, we're here for this time. We're all here for this time because it's our time in his hands. And God's got something he wants to accomplish. You know, so will we say yes to whatever that is? It becomes really exciting when we walk with God on that level, realizing that we're here for something so much bigger. We're here for a real purpose. And it's huge. The purpose of God is huge. So to what extent are we prepared to learn to trust him? To what extent can we walk with him? You know, in some ways I find it a lot harder in England to live radically. Because in Brazil I really saw that people really so needed God. And they knew it. Whereas here in the UK it feels like people don't always know they need God. But our living radically is part of that. It's part of us showing society and friends and family how much they really need to choose into what God has. And we've all got people, I'm sure, as we think now, that we'd love to see come to the Lord. Let's commit to being people who'll walk with them, who'll bring them in, who won't just point the way, but will walk the journey with them and bring people that God loves to him. There's a choice, and Esther chose in. There's a choice, and it's also a matter of obedience. So a matter of knowing, a matter of hearing, a matter of choice, and a matter of obedience. It's not a given. Actually, it's not a given that we're going to obey. Sometimes I'm really disobedient. Sometimes I just don't obey God at all. Sometimes I disobey without even realizing I'm disobeying. But my heart is to obey. And I'll always go back and say, I'm really sorry I got that wrong. You know, we have a choice, but we choose to obey. And all of us, as the people of God, we can walk in what God has for us, no matter what the price. There are two quotes I love. Yeah. Jesus, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. There is a cost sometimes. There's a price. Could you put the last slide up for me, please? I love these two quotes. They're two of my favourite quotes. One of them, this one there, the only currency that will heal every culture is ceaseless love. And that's Heidi Baker who says that. The other one is my other heroine, Jackie Pullinger. And she says, the devil wants to convince you that dying is the worst thing. It's very much easier to do what God made you for than not. It's easier to do what God made us to do, to be who God called us to do, than not. And I just really wanted to encourage you guys. I've been so blessed by you and by being here. And you've just got so much to give. So much love, so much of you, so much hospitality, welcome, friendship. It's been amazing to be among you. And I felt so at home. But the way you are here and with each other, that's you in the world as well. And you're here for this time. And God's got so much for you all as a church. Because it's a matter of knowing who he is and what he's got here and now and where we are. So I'm going to finish with that and hand back to you, Matt. So thank you. And thank you for having me. It's been an absolute delight.